Well, good morning. As we begin 2021, I want to begin a study in a new book. I want to begin looking at the book of Hebrews over the next couple of months. It's an incredible book, and I believe it's extremely relevant for the days in which we're living in. And I'll show some of the reasons why I believe that's so relevant, even at the end of the message today. Let's have a word of prayer as we commit this message to the Lord. Lord, as we gather today, even if it's around a computer screen, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts and our lives and encourage us and strengthen us and help us, Lord, to understand the great truths contained in your word. In Jesus' name I pray that. Amen. Well, I first want to begin just by reading a couple of verses out of chapter 2 in Hebrews, and part of the one verse is part of the theme that I want to focus on during the next couple of weeks and months. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor, and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under his feet, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not yet see everything subject to him." Or we just need to think of the virus we're facing at the moment. And then verse 9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Well, I've entitled my series in the book of Hebrews, "It's All About Jesus." Well, I want to spend a lot of time on some technical details today about the book of Hebrews and just end off with a few thoughts that are vital for us to understand this book. First of all, who wrote the book? Well, we don't really know. There's no author stated in the book of Hebrews. Scholars have kind of determined that it's most likely somebody in the Pauline circle of friends, because in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 23, it says, "I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released." Well, you see, Timothy was part of Paul's circle of friends, so there's much speculation that perhaps it was Paul who certainly influenced the thinking of this book, but it was most likely written by somebody like Luke. A lot of the stylistic Greek is very similar to Luke, or it could be written by a man called Clement of Rome, but we're not sure. The question is, who and where were the readers? Who were the people who read this book? Well, the readers were either in Italy or from Italy. That we know for certain. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 24 says, "Greet all your leaders from all God's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings." Well, they were more likely in Italy, and the writer had a group of Italians with him who were sending greetings to those who were in Italy. So it's more than likely a book that was written to a group that were based in Italy. Why do we say that? Well, Hebrews was one of the first books that was accepted by the church and Rome as to be part of the scriptures, be canonical. It's been debated in many other circles, but the Roman church accepted it very quickly. When was it written? Well, most likely in the generation soon after the apostles, but more than likely before the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Why do we say that? Well, as you read through the book, you'll see in the book that the readers have a very high regard for Jerusalem and on the fact that the early church did not have a Bible. And in this particular case, certainly amongst the readers that were reading this book, the authority of the apostles was beginning to wane and suffer a little bit. So who are these readers? Who are these people to whom this book was written to? And this begins to kind of touch us a little bit. Well, first of all, they were Christians. It says very clearly in chapter 3 and verse 14, we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. Well, you can't have something at first and something have it at the end if you didn't have it at first. So they're more than likely Christians. And so it's relevant to us even to this day, the verses to give assurance of faith. And if they were not Christians, assurance of faith wouldn't be needed. And in a number of other passages, in chapter 3 and verse 1 and verse 16 and verse 14, the writer calls the readers his brothers. So they're Christians, like you and I, and the book is written for us. Well, what makes them slightly different? Well, they were Jewish Christians. The writer is having to argue the readers out of a Jewish state of mind. Well, you may ask why that's so relevant to us today, friends. The sad reality, there seems to be a rise in kind of a Jewish Hebrew kind of thinking about the Bible, almost like adopting some of the Old Testament concepts. And we need to be very careful of that in the day in which we're living in. The writer uses the concept of the law, and certainly it's another thing that we need to be careful of in the day we're living in, the rise in legalism. See this, why it's so relevant. It was written to these Jewish Christians, but it's still relevant even today. The other thing is the readers were sad to be away from Jerusalem. And certainly there are many who feel that kind of Jerusalem is the place to be. The book also talks about committing a sin under the Old Covenant, and that, of course, is exclusively a Jewish thing because we were never part of the Old Covenant. So what do we know? Well, they were Christians, they were Jewish Christians, but they were more than likely Greek-speaking or Hellenistic Jewish Christians. Well, why do we say that? Well, the book was written in Greek. Some speculate that perhaps Paul wrote it in Hebrew, and that either Luke or Clement of Rome interpreted it into Greek at some other stage, but those are just speculations. But definitely it was primarily written in Greek, and that's what's come down to us that we have as a reference point today. Well, Frank, we're part of that too. We're very influenced by Greek thinking. Much as we might think we're not, we are. Well, here's another thing. The readers had been Christians for a long time. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. You see, the implication is that the readers should have learnt enough up until this point in time to be able to be teachers themselves. What a sad indictment that is on the Christian church today. People who have been going to church for years and years and years and yet are unable even to teach a simple Bible study or a simple Bible lesson to young children. Friends, if we're serious about our faith, certainly we must be willing to learn about it and grow in it and understand it so that we can pass it on to others. Well, the fifth thing is that these people had suffered. In chapter 13 and verse 3, Paul writes, or the writer writes, the author writes, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Well, it seems like at some point in time, this group of Christians had really been attacked and had been facing some very, very difficult times. And friends, all I can say is I think the future does not look good for Christians. If I look at what's happening in some parts of the world, even in what would we would have thought has been a kind of very Christian country, America, who seems to be kind of changing some of its thinking and philosophies. I know it's a political thing, but one is concerned about some of the stories that you hear out of a place even like America. Well, what else does he do? Well, friends, as the writer writes to this group of people, he's really concerned that they have become very sluggish in their faith. Well, you know, the last 12 months has kind of really almost devastated the church. There are predictions that when church gets back to the ability to meet again, that less than 40% of the people who met before will meet again into the future. That in these 12 months, there are large groups of people who have decided that going to church really isn't necessary. And that legitimately, in some cases, it's easier for them just to watch a video like the one I'm making now than meet with other believers. Friends, in chapter 12, Paul says, hold on to the faith. In chapter 5 and verse 11, he says, you're dull of hearing. In verse 12 of chapter 5, he says, you've got to go back to square one. In chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, you need to exercise your faith. In chapter 10 and verse 36, he says, you need endurance. In chapter 10 and verse 25, he says, some have even fallen away from the fellowship. Friend, is that not relevant? Many people have turned their back on the church. It's much easier just to be at home. Kind of, why go to church? What's it all about? We can do religion from the comfort of our house. Well, there are a few positive things. We learn these are a pleasant group of people. Chapter 6 and verse 10 talks about their hospitality. And chapter 13 and verse 10 talks about their works of love. So, well, it's not all doom and gloom. There are some good things in this passage. It also reminds us that they were a clear community. In chapter 13 and verse 7, the author writes and says, send the leaders the greetings. So they were a group that were organized and had a group of leaders. Well, what were some of the issues they were facing, these group of Christians? They were being tempted by false teaching. Friends, we're living in a day where there is so much false teaching going around. Oh, the internet has become the source of all truth, let alone forget about the Bible. I'm so concerned. As you know, I send out a daily devotion. I always try and include a scripture, friends. I'm really concerned. I've been looking at some Facebook pages of some major Christian leaders, and as I look through their pages and the devotions that they have, all they are some blessed thoughts about some great author or some pep talk that people are given. No, friends, we need to get back to the Word of God. We need to be careful that we're not misled away from the truth of the Word of God. And most problematic of all, in Hebrews chapter 4 and in chapter 6, the writer is concerned that many of them are not only turning their back on the church, they're turning their back on their faith, that they're in danger of losing their faith. Well, we'll deal with that as we go through the book. So what's the purpose? Well, the purpose of the book of Hebrews is to, first of all, remind them about Jesus, friends. The main purpose is that the author wants them to renew their faith and trust in Christ. He wants them to move toward inheriting the promises that are found in Christ. And then secondly, more from a Jewish perspective, he wants to liberate them from their past, which is holding them in bondage. Friends, there's so many Christians who are holding on to the traditions of the past. One good thing that has happened during this process of not being able to meet on a regular basis is that many kind of wishy-washy Christians, they're just going to fall by the wayside, friends. If you've been going to church just because it's the right thing to do or the in thing to do, well, you know, those people are not going to come back to church. The reality is, friends, we need to move beyond the traditions of the past and begin to remind ourselves it's all about Jesus. Well, how does the author write? Well, friends, the first thing the author does, and the first thing for me is the most important thing about this book, is that he is portraying the greatness of Jesus. The book is the most Christ-centered book in the Bible. It's all about Jesus. Friends, that's what I want to remind us. It's all about Jesus. Chapter 2 and verse 9, but we see Jesus. The second thing the author is trying to do as he writes is to encourage the readers. He wants to encourage them that in Christ we have one who has identified with us in every way. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 and 15. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. The third aspect, friends, of importance that the reader is some very strong words of warning in this letter. If you're a nominal Christian, I can tell you now, you're going to be offended by some of what I'm going to be preaching about. I'm not going to withhold my punches, friends. There's some hard words in the book of Hebrews. And if we're serious about following Jesus, we need to be willing to take them. Well, what's the theme of the book, the outline of the book? Well, chapter 1 and 2 talks about the person of Jesus. Chapter 3 through to verse 13 of chapter 4 talks about Jesus and his relation to the Mosaic covenant. Chapter 4 and verses 14 through to chapter 7 and verse 28 talks about Jesus, the great high priest. And chapter 8 and verse 1 through to chapter 18 talks about the high priestly work of Jesus and why. Why, friends, he's not only the priest of the Jews, but he's the priest of all. And then chapter 10 through to the end of the book, it's about building our faith in Christ, the one who is worthy of putting our faith in. So what makes it a very challenging book? Well, it's very significant, friends. Many steer clear from the book of Hebrews. Probably after the book of Romans, it's probably the most significant theological book. It makes systematic theologians quite nervous. The great reformer Luther certainly didn't like the letter, and at some point in time he recommended to the church even to kick the letter out of the Bible. It was that kind of, he had so much difficulty with it. It's also, friends, what makes it challenging is that it's not the kind of book you use to kind of counsel people, because it just tells them straight up front, hey man, you're losing your salvation and you could lose it and be kicked out of heaven. Well, what makes it challenging also deals with many themes, friends, that aren't in the other parts of the New Testament. And there are many themes that we don't fully understand. Themes like entering your rest in chapter 3 and chapter 4 Jew or Gentile Christians, we don't fully understand these things. So now finally, why is this important for us, this study? Well, first of all, this, friends, this book deals with the superiority of Jesus in all matters of faith. Friend, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be a follower of Christ, you've got to study the book of Hebrews. Because Hebrews, friends, reminds us how Jesus is the greatest of all creation, how Jesus is the final source of all revelation, how Jesus is the great high priest, how Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice and final sacrifice, how Jesus, friends, I could go on, and we'll get to them. But friends, Jesus is number one. There's no other word for it. He is superior in all matters of faith. Secondly, it deals with what we are saved for, friends. Some of the things God wants us to experience begins to deal with some of those things, and perhaps as Christians we're not really fully experiencing them. Friends, there's great joy in being a Christian. There are many who find Christianity quite laborious, but friends, there is so much we can learn from this book. So much we can learn about faith. So much we can learn about really trusting Jesus in everything. Thirdly, it deals with the danger of neglecting your salvation. Friends, there are many who have grown cold. Revelation talks about whether you neither hot nor cold, just lukewarm. And if you're just lukewarm, God's going to spit you out. Friends, this book does not pull its punches. If you're interested in serious Christianity, this book is what it's all about. It's about getting to a certain point in your Christian life and stopping to grow. Friends, there's so many believers like that. So many believers that are growing cold in their faith. Friend, we need to renew our commitment to Jesus. It's about the wonderful, completed work of Christ. Friend, I'm looking forward to telling you some of the wonderful truths contained in the book of Hebrews. Just the first four verses reminding us, friends, that there is nowhere else we need to turn. Nowhere else. We don't need prophets today. We don't need somebody to tell us our future. Friend, you don't need some special revelation. You have Jesus. I hope you grasp that. Next week we're going to look at that thing. that in these last days, friends, God has spoken. He's spoken once and finally through Christ. Everything we need can be found in Him. It's all about Jesus, friend. Let's pray together. Lord, as we embark on this journey in the book of Hebrews, we thank you, Lord, that in some ways we don't know who wrote it, for we know you are the ultimate author. You are the one who is pointing us to the truth contained in the scriptures. Help us to learn from you, Lord. Help us to learn from the truth contained in it. Help us to celebrate that it's all about Jesus. Amen. My friend, I trust that through the next few days you'll read through the book of Hebrews. Take some time just to read through it through a couple of times and familiarize yourself with the content. And as we work through the book, you'll enjoy it even more as we get into it in more detail. Lord bless you.